Good morning. Pastor Jim is actually at a class this weekend, so I am filling in for him. And on that note, let's dig in. I like to call this message, go to the mat. Go to the mat. See, what happens when an outcome that we've hoped for doesn't go as planned? What happens then? What happens when a relationship that we have worked so long and hard on doesn't work? Where is Jesus when we are experiencing our defeats and our failures? Where is he in the sickness? Where is he in the pain? Where is he even in death? Where is he? Where is he? Our typical reaction to that, I believe, is we have a tendency to avoid God when that happens, because we have prayed. We have done what we thought we were supposed to do, and still things turned out that way. So we now avoid God. Or sometimes we don't avoid him necessarily, but we just pull inside to our own prison of pain, our own fears, our own pain. And sometimes we're trying to fix situations that just simply can't be fixed, that simply cannot be fixed in our own limited understanding. And when we operate in our own limited understanding, which all of us are actually, this will be to no avail. This will be to no avail. But if we choose any of those courses of action, none of them will satisfy that deep, deep longing, that deep hurt, that deep pain that we are experiencing. So what do? Well, I call that going to the mat. That's what we do. We go to the mat. We go to the mat. You see, if we will go to the mat with God, it is where he wants to take our hand. It's where he wants to fill our spirits. It's where he wants to strengthen us. And it's where he wants to calm our anxious hearts. And yet we do just about anything but go to the mat. We do just about anything but go to this mat. The mat with God, as I call it, is the famous wrestling match between Jacob and God. And it's in Genesis 32. And I will not read all of that to you, but it would be a very good read this week. It is where what happens there, what we want to happen out of that time of going to the mat with God, is we want him to change the circumstances. That's what we want. That's what we desire, is that he would change the circumstances, okay? But what will really happen there, what will really happen there, is that God will change us. And he will certainly change our perspective on what it is that is happening. Things that we don't understand, things that we can't put words to. This going to the mat is the place where we share with God our hearts that are hurting, our hearts that are angry, our hearts that are maybe somewhat blaming. Maybe it's the good, the bad, and the ugly. We all have the good, the bad, and the ugly. That was a show a long time ago. Clint Eastwood, I believe, was in that. And that my takeaway from that was, that's how we need to be with God. We need to share the good, yes, the good, and the goodness of God, and those things that were and those things that we praise him for, and we love him so much because he is a faithful and good God. Yes, the good things, okay? But also the bad things. Also the things that didn't go as planned. Also the things that are ugly when we were struggling and we were sinning and we were failing and we were doing all of that. I have a newsflash for you. He knows it all anyway. He knows it's how you're feeling, whether what you're trying to do is avoid him or avoid saying it to him. Because that would sound somewhat sacrilegious. That would sound a little bit not right. You shouldn't take issue with Almighty God, the Creator, after all. But you see, it's your heart and it's how you're feeling. And the newsflash of the day is he made you. He created you. He knows every bit of you. Every bit of you he knows. And he knows you're feeling it. And he knows that if you will step into the ring, step into that mat, and you will lay it out there for him. Lay it out there for him. All of it. Whether you like it or not, it's good or not, whatever it is, lay it out. Lay it out to him. Because when this wrestling match is over, when this wrestling match is over, you will walk out different. You will walk out different. Jacob, whose name actually means supplanter, okay, or deceiver, if that's what you want. Supplanter actually means to supersede another by force or treachery. Oh my goodness, it was the way he rolled. Wow. He lived, I don't want to say up to his name, he lived down to his name. That's what he did. Hebrew culture placed a lot of emphasis on names. And this was the name that he was given, and it characterized him. It did. It really did. And he did so much. And you just have to go, you can go previous in Genesis to 32, and you will see the times over and over and over again that he did deceive, that he did supplant, that he schemed his way out of things. He manipulated circumstances to his benefit whenever possible. But now, one night is approaching. This night is approaching with his family and his belongings in danger. All right. He is about to encounter his brother Esau, whom he has not seen in 20 years and ran from because he stole his birthright. He deceived. And the last words that Esau speaks to him is, "When I see your face again, I will kill you." Nice, right? Nice. It wasn't good. And so Jacob, he takes off, he heads out, he's gone for 20 years, where he has now multiple children, two wives, but he's coming back. He's coming back to his homeland. He doesn't know what awaits him. He doesn't know what awaits him, but in typical Jacob fashion, okay, I want to start reading, okay? I'm going to start reading in 22, verse, chapter 32, verse 22. That night, Jacob got up. He took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons, and he crossed the ford at Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all of his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched, and he wrestled with this man. And the man said, Let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So the man asked him, what is your name? And Jacob, he answered. And the man said, you will no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. Because you have struggled with God and with men, and you have overcome. And you have overcome. So Jacob has, even he is putting all of his possessions and all of these things, he wants to send them on ahead to appease his brother. Jacob is not at the end of himself yet. And so he was making provision to do that. He's afraid to meet his brother, afraid to face him, and then realizes that God has spared his life. And to make sure that the humbled Jacob does not forget the experience, God gives him a new name and a limp. When we wrestle with God in the midst of difficult circumstances, disheartening circumstances, we too may find this encounter transforming, yes, absolutely transforming, and certainly humbling, And maybe that's the thing that we fear the most when we head into this place. But you see, God came face to face with God in the dark night of his soul. He came face to face with him. Continuing to try to fix his situation, he has many good ideas from the human perspective. But in the end, he knows his plans are futile unless God steps in. He knows that unless God steps in, he knows he faces certain death. He does. So Jacob, again, in his humanness, sends everyone across the river and stays, and then wrestles with God all night. That took some unbelievable stamina, but when we're in the dark night of our soul and we are reaching out for something that makes sense, you will wrestle. You will go to that mat. You will wrestle. And God wants to release a blessing, and he wants to release a destiny that you're not going to find any other way. You're not going to find it any other way. God is waiting for Jacob to stop trying to fix things on his own. He is waiting for that. And he does that, by asking Jacob, what's your name? Well, my name is Jacob, he said, which in essence, he was saying, I am a supplanter. I am a thief. I have taken that which was not mine. I have deceived. I have stolen. I have done things that I'm not proud of. He was a man defined by his past, and he had deceived his father. He betrayed his brother, and he was actually now on the run from his father-in-law because he couldn't even face him when he left. He just loaded them all up and headed for his homeland. So what has you hemmed in? What is the thing that you can't make peace with? What are the things that you just, they're out of your control. They're out of your ability to fix or change. What are those things? Because God wants you to go to that mat with him, So God says, you are now Israel. That's prince with God. Okay. So God fights for you. It means God fights with you. He fights for you. That's what that means, Israel. You see, God sees Jacob as a prince that strives with God and man and wins. Not because he's manipulated God, because there is no manipulating God, but because he humbled himself and he admitted his failures, his weaknesses, his ability to misunderstand and to understand things. His past is striving with men and winning, or so it would seem. That's his past, all right? The scheming, trying to manipulate things, make them work. But God has shown him in the end that it had nothing to do with any of those things that he tried to make work. It is in the laying it down, the trying to fix yourself, fix the situation, get yourself out of a jam. Makes sense, right? Well, the only place it's going to make any sense is if you will learn to go to the mat. Learn to go to the mat. Is there something that God is waiting for you to go to the mat for? Something you need to release? Maybe it is you're trying to fix or change it. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's that you do not understand something that has happened in your life. Maybe it's part of whatever is going on. Whatever is going on. He wants you to go to that mat. Ask yourself, what has me? Am I between a rock and a hard spot? What's got me hemmed in? What's got me hemmed in? Because that's where Jacob was. Left running from the father-in-law, okay, to his brother that wants to kill him. His father-in-law is not happy because he up and took his wife and grandchildren in the middle of the night and all of his possessions. So he's not happy with him. And he's going into less than desirable circumstances. What has you hemmed in? You see, Jacob was in a corner that he couldn't find his way out of. And he'd had answers. His scheming had answers for every other problem. He just worked it around. He just worked it around. But not this one. He can't escape Esau and his 400 men. So if when we are wedged in tight, it is then that we must call upon our God, our maker, our creator, the one that knows us better than ourselves. And there will be no place that you will experience more understanding, more grace, more love, more perspective than in that place. So we have to stop fearing that place. The result of the wrestling match is to get a clear understanding that I can't do this in my own plans, but I have to do it in yours, God. I have to follow your lead. That's the only thing that is going to help this situation. Heaven knows I've tried other things and none of those things have helped. The wrestling match, the going to the mat, it's where you lay hold of God. It's where you literally lay hold of God and you don't let go. No matter how many tears are shed in this place, until you are weary, get it out. But you need to get it out with him. That's who you need to get it out with. We want to run to someone else that can fix it, make it better, change it, do something. And that might be a small temporary fix, but it isn't going to fix it unless you learn to go to this mat. Like Jacob, we need to lay hold of God. And it means that we focus on him and not be distracted by the many other things that demand our attention. I love that chorus that we sing. I love that. It means to persist in waiting on him until we see his face clearly. I have recently had a wrestling match with God. In where God said to me, the scripture that he opened up to my eyes was, lift up your head. It says, lift up your heads, O gates. But I knew that that was me. And I knew that he was speaking, lift up your head. But my head didn't want to be lifted up. My head wanted to be bowed down. My head wanted to curl up in a corner and just keep bowed down. But God said, lift up your head. And it was there that the tears flowed, looking in the face of Jesus, because that's who you will find there. That's who waits for you when you go to the mat. Oh, excuse me. We want the breakthroughs. We want to be on the other end of that dark night of our soul. We do. But you see, those things will elude you until you are prepared to wrestle and go to that mat overnight, whatever that takes. We lay hold of God in prayer, certainly in prayer. And when I do it with my Bible open, and I let him minister to me in that way. And when it gets tiring or difficult, and circumstances definitely look like they're going south, you don't give up. And you keep praying, and you keep pounding down the heavens with God. The Bible says in this place, it says the fervent prayer of a righteous person yields fruit. So ask him to give you that fervor and that passion in your prayer life. But the beautiful thing about the mat is when you don't have words and all it is groaning, then you groan and you let God minister to you in only the way that he can. What are some of the breakthroughs that you need to go to the mat over? We need so desperately to find this place, this mat time with God. And we will come away. We will come away with, again, here's what we will come away with. We will come away with our deepest pain and longings being ministered to. We walk out of that place and we are ministered to in a way no human could have ever done, but he can do. It's the place where our spirits are strengthened. It's the place where he calms all the anxiousness. Again, not something another human can do for you. It's where he takes all that's overwhelming you. And that amazing peace that transcends all understanding is there for you. And you don't know why, because when you leave the mat time, chances are very good that none of your circumstances have changed. Chances are they're the same as they were when you went in. Chances are, okay? But guess who's different? You. You are who is different in that place. You're different. Remember I said it's where God changes us and our perspective on what is happening. That's what happens there. This verse right here, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, a rock that is too high to reach without your help, God, without your help. That's Psalm 61, verse 2. And that's in the Amplified Version. I love that. And again, in Isaiah 55, verse 8, you are going to know this one well. My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways, declares the Lord God Almighty. And then in Job 2, when everyone, including Job's wife, in all of his suffering and his dark night of his soul, they're saying, curse God and die. Just get it over with. You know, you're in a lot of pain here. And do you know what he answers back? He answers back, shall I accept only good things from the hand of God and not the bad? But it's just not life. That's just not life. The good and the bad, they come because guess what? We are living here in this imperfect world, and there's plenty of pain. There's plenty of suffering. There's plenty of all of those kinds of things. But you, those of you that know and call Jesus your Lord, you have a different way of dealing with those things. And it is learning to go to the mat. You will come out with a greater understanding of who you are. You will come out with a different perspective on all that has gone on, and you will come out with a different perspective on your God. That's what we need. That's what we need. Let's pray. God, Father God, as we come before you, teach us how to go to the mat with you and lay it down, all of it. The good things, God, the bad things, God, the ugly things, God, that we would learn to lay it down. And in this place, that we would be changed, that we would be changed, not necessarily the circumstances, but that we would be changed. And we would see you in a different way, God. See you as the loving, amazing, and caring God that you are. Father, that we would look on your face. And Father, that we would be changed. In your precious and holy name, Father, teach us that go to the mat with you. Amen.